Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
My name is Sean. I'm the lead pastor here. Thanks for being here. Shout out to Chris, a worship leader from Mesa, did a great job. So thanks for Chris for coming out. Last week, we started in the book of Joshua. So we are walking through the book of Joshua. We're going to finish chapter 1 today. And we had a lot of different recap, but just to bring you up to speed, I love going through the Old Testament because it really gives us the full picture of what God's doing. It points us to the Messiah. And even the Apostle Paul said that the scriptures of the old are to bring us to hope and encouragement as we patiently wait for God's promises to be fulfilled. That was recorded in Romans 15. So I pray that through this series, that it wouldn't just be a history lesson for you, but it would be really an opportunity for God to speak to your hearts. I know that Joshua is filled with all sorts of great promises and information. And so I just want to take a second as we dive in, and let's just pray that God will speak to us. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, thank you for your scripture, that it leads us and it guides us, and ultimately it governs us to the life that we are to live. God, I pray that you would just illuminate passages and just speak to our spirit on what we're to do, what we're to stay away from, and help us to really engage with you and speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so recap of Joshua. There's three main kind of sections to the book. The chapters 1 through 5 is the people entering into the promised land. So where we are, Moses has died. So Moses ushered all the people out of Israel, and they were going to the promised land. The Red Sea split. It was just miraculous thing after miraculous thing. But the people got detoured. They lost their faith, began to do idol worship, and God says, because of this, you will not enter the promised land. So that spawned 40 years of that generation passing away, and now Moses has passed away, and Joshua is leading the people to the promised land. So that's right where we are entering. Chapter 6 through 12 is them conquering the land, and then chapters 13 through 21 is them dividing and settling into the land. So God's word really gave Joshua courage and direction. And I believe that that same courage and direction is for us as well. We looked at chapters, verses 1 through 8 last week, but I just want to read chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 again. It says, for us to be strong and courageous. How do we do that? How do we be strong and courageous? It says that we need to be careful to obey all of the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. He said, Joshua, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. Why are we to do that? So that you will be able to obey everything that's written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. And that's really our heart as church, as elders, to really give you an opportunity for this prayer challenge week, that we're going to take 2 weeks, and hopefully it's a chance and a reminder for you to be missional, be intentional on spending time with God. Even if you didn't do anything specific last week, you're still in the window. It still counts. So the idea is for you to maybe change your rhythm, begin a new rhythm to where you can really tune in and connect with God. And so I'm excited about the prayer night. You're all invited to come to that tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And it's just, again, a chance for us to break our normal routines and come together in prayer. So the territory that Joshua was taking the people is over the Jordan. So here's a map. It's kind of a satellite image. So we have the Sea of Galilee to the north, we have the Jordan River, and then the Dead Sea. So just a little point of trivia, the Dead Sea is actually the lowest point on the face of the planet. It is so salty, its salinity is 34%. In contrast to the Earth's ocean is about 3.5. So its its salinity is about 10 times as strong as the ocean. So if you were to go into that body of water, I've not been, but you're a lot more buoyant and all this type of stuff. So it's a really interesting area. So the Promised Land was a lot of this zone, but they were on the east side, and they were going to cross over to the west side. So he's rallying up the 12 tribes, and that's kind of where the passage starts in this section. But I really want you to key in on one word. As if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them or your phones. But I really want you to key into the word of possession. He's saying, hey, I want you to possess this land. And his instruction is wherever you set foot on, that's what the land that you'll have. So he's talking to Moses about possessing it and occupying and setting his foot to this. So ownership, God gave them the land. Ownership of the land was unconditional. God gave them that. But possession was conditional. It was them obeying God and doing what he called them to do. And so if they were to claim the land, if they were to claim the land that God intended for them to have, they had to set foot on it. And I think a lot of this applies for us today, because clearly the scripture shows that he has given us gifts, and he has given his spirit. There's the fruit of the spirit. There's all these different promises to us in the Bible. So are we as God's people, as God's children, what does it look like for us to possess them? What does it look like for us to, in Christ, have all that he has given us? Our part is to really have faith. To obey, just like God commanded Joshua to as well, to walk in the authority that God has given us. So, walk in the authority. I'm getting ready this morning, and I had this picture pop in my head. So, if you're a police officer or a first responder, like you've done all the training and the police academy, and you've sworn in to protect, and now you have a uniform and you have a badge. But even though that uniform and that badge is off, you're still under that canopy of authority. But it's only when you have your badge, it's only when you have your uniform on, do you really walk in that authority. And I think some of us realize, or maybe don't realize, that we have been given authority as followers of Christ. But we don't wear our uniform, and we don't have the badge. And if you don't have the badge and uniform, like, you're not fully walking into that authority that Christ has paid for our lives. So what does it look like to possess his gifts? What does it look like to possess the land that God wants to give us? And I know probably, if I'm honest, for some of us in the room, that might be a hard thing to do, or if you're listening online, because you have tried faith, and you've been hurt by leaders. Maybe there's been people in the church or men or women who've hurt you, but they were supposed to be Christians, and they let you down. Or maybe you just have had a rough go at religion. You feel like it just hasn't clicked, that you're just not quite there, that these promises maybe are for somebody else. But I'm here to tell you that God won't let you down. Even though people might have hurt you, people might have let you down, that's not God. He is not letting you down. And here's what's incredible. The Bible tells us in Romans 11, he says that his gifts and his call are irrevocable. They're irrevocable. He has no favorites. That's what it says in Romans 11. So if you feel like, you know what, these promises and this authority that you're talking about, that's for like the super Christians way up here. But no, if he has no favorites, he's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You believed in Jesus for salvation. These are for you as well. They're for all of us. So let's get started in Joshua. Verse 10, it says, Joshua commanded the officers of Israel. So again, we have 12 tribes. He says, go throughout the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. And in 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take, again, possession. That's the key word of the land the Lord your God is giving you. So here's a twist. We have 12 tribes of Israel. Did all 12 tribes say, yes, Joshua, we're excited. Our bags are packed. Let's cross the river. We're with you. The answer is no. Good job, whoever said that. there was a couple tribes that are like, hold on a second, time out. Can we just stay on this side of the Jordan? So it says in verse 12, it says, that's what they wanted to do. These two and a half tribes actually settled. It says, your wives, your children, and your livestock may remain here in the land that Moses assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan River. But your strong warriors, say strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has given you rest, and until they too possess the land the Lord your God is giving them. Only then may you return to settle here on the east side of the Jordan River that the land, in the land of Moses, the servant of the Lord God, assigned to you. So again, here's what's going on. So you have the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, and they did not want to cross the Jordan River. And they just said, hey, look, this looks fine. And honestly, they weren't in sin. We see in Numbers 32 that Moses gave them this land. And they're like, hey, we just want to stay here. But what happened is Joshua says, I need your strong leaders. You might be at peace here, but I need your strong leaders to go with us to help us fight the land so that we will be at peace too. And once we're established here, then you can go back home. So they didn't want to go to the intended promised land. They're like, this land looks good. I think I can have a farm. We can do a house. Why cross the river? We'll just stay on this side of it. And so no matter whether you cross the Jordan River or if you stay on this side, the strong warriors still have to fight. The strong warriors are still needed to obtain and help others get their peace that God once for them. So if you've experienced God's power, or if you're rooted in your faith, like we have so many strong warriors here in this church, and I am so blessed because it's the strong warriors that say, you know what, I see the need to help others. You know what, I'll run that small group, or I'll help with this class, or I'll help teach people about their finances, because I want them to be in a land and a place of peace as well. And so if you've experienced something special that God's done in your life, God might use you to bring that peace towards others. Even though you're staying on this side of the river, God still wants to use you. So do you see another person who needs help? Many times, I think people who do powerful things in ministry don't have this supernatural calling that happens. Like, I've talked to a lot of different people, and not one time, you know, I'm like, wow, how did you start this ministry or this nonprofit, or you're going on mission trips or you're planning churches? Nowhere have I heard the story of, you know what, I woke up and my room was bright, there was this angel right in front of me, and he just gave me a call of God in my life. I've not heard that story one time. But normally I hear, you know what? I had compassion, or I had empathy, or this thing bothered me, and I had a sense of justice that somebody needs to do something, and they just volunteered to do it. They just took action to do it. I had a friend, we went through a rooted class, and he would walk his dog on his neighborhood, and around the corner there was this house that was really overgrown, like weeds, the whole thing, and it just like bummed him out, you know, like honestly, he was probably irritated. He's just like, why can't this person get it together? And it wasn't like a HOA, so he couldn't call and make a complaint, but he would keep walking through that and walking, and he just, every time he'd just be irritated when he passes that house. And finally, I think the Lord just popped it in, like, why don't you do something about it? He's like, no, it's not my house. And he, you know, like kept walking. Finally, he's like, you know what, maybe my rooted group could get together and we could help this person with their lawn. So he took courage. I imagine it was awkward, but he knocked on the guy's door and he says, hey, look, I'm your neighbor. I live, you know, right down the block, but do you need help with your yard? Like, what's going on? And he began to explain, you know, the challenges that he was having. And he's like, well, I go to this church and we have a small group and I could probably talk them into coming and fixing up your yard. And there was just like this uncomfortable, like, what? You're a Christian? And this man was a Muslim. And so it just blew his like kind of mindset of who he thought Christians were. And sure enough, they showed up on a Sunday. And he's like, isn't this your day of worship? Like, why are you cutting my lawn? Shouldn't you be like in prayer or whatever? He's like, this is an act of worship. Like, we're here to care for you. And through that interaction, God did something miraculous. There was a friendship. He invited him to church. The guy got saved and he was baptized. All because somebody saw a need. And he's like, you know what? I could do something about that. But that's hard. I remember a couple weeks ago when we had the Testimony Sunday, and Catherine was sharing her story about how she was drawn to women in prison, and she just like stepped out of her comfort zone and took possession of that territory. And she's making a difference. And you guys, I hear stories all the time. I brag all the time about all the different ways that you guys live your faith out. And I love it. But there is a time where we do have to be strong in battle. There's a new song that's on the radio that's kind of popular. It's by Shane and Shane. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. Have you heard of that? A couple people have. At first, I'm like, I don't like that song. I don't like it. It's stupid. It doesn't make sense. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I'm just like, what? I mean, I know what you're talking about, but I don't want to sing that song. Like, what does that even mean? And then I looked at the lyrics, and here's some of the lyrics, but it says, no matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Like, in the middle of that battle, just standing there, I will overcome. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. And I just thought, okay, that's kind of a cool song. And I changed my mind. But I thought, like, what does that even look like? I mean, here the Israelites have been given this land, this promised land. They've been waiting so long, but there's people in it that they have to drive out. God's won the battle. He's saying, I am with you. But what does it look like to fight battles that God's already won? And I brought this up at the staff meeting, and everybody kind of had a blank stare on their face. And then Lori says, you know what? You just keep going. And I thought, that's right. You just keep going. Like Nemo, you know, like the, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. If you have young kids, you've seen that movie way too many times. But I thought, you know what? There is so much truth to that. That God doesn't rescue us from the battle, but he fights the battle. Like, here's the thing. God's on our team. So if God's on our team, can we really lose? No. Like if Tom Brady's your quarterback, you know, you're going to win. But God can't lose. He just can't lose. And he's saying, I am with you. But never in Old Testament or do I see in scriptures where God gives breakthrough or a big victory that they're just like relaxing in their bed or sleeping. Like, I don't see that. Instead, I see God kind of putting together this kind of maybe a ragtag team in some ways. Like the people are completely outnumbered. There's no way the odds are for them. And they just do some really interesting, crazy things and break pottery and light torches and do whatever God tells them to do. And then they get the battle. They win the battle. They get the victory. And sometimes the enemy is confused and they fight each other. And sometimes the people are in the battle and they win, but God always wins. And so you as a strong warrior, what's God speaking to your heart? Like what territory has he called you to explore and to win? So another point is that we have to make sure that we don't settle in the wrong place, that we don't have to get too comfortable in our ways. Those tribes, they said, hey, look, this land is good enough for us. So you have the tribe of Reuben and Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh. So I imagine it'd be a little bit of a deflating moment when finally 40 years, Joshua gets the word, you got to enter in the intended promised land, and like 20% of your people don't want to go. Like, they'd be like, oh, man. But that was the territory. That was part of the promised land. But what's interesting is I can't see any, I mean, I've researched and Googled, and there's not much that happens with those tribes. There's not much that really occurs. They didn't seem to do anything spectacular living on that side. As a matter of fact, when the Babylonians came in, they began to lose faith and kind of turn away. They were the first tribes to be captured by the Babylonians and the enemy. Like, they were the susceptible, and they were the first to land into captivity. So it's really important on where you stand and giving permission to God, just saying, hey, look, am I in the right spot? Is there something else that you want me to do? Because I feel like I've lived my faith so nonchalant for so many years, and I just feel like, man, I'm to the point where I want my faith to cost me something. Like, I want my faith to cost me something. My house costs me stuff all the time. I have car expenses. My hobbies cost me stuff, or entertainment. Like, all these things I love, but, like, what's most important to me is my faith, is my relationship to God. So, like, I want it to cost me something. So I'm here to say that, yeah, you can live without being connected to a church, or you can live well with not being a part of a small group or not coming in together and worshiping corporately. And you can be a Christian and not read your Bible, but is that the right thing? Is that really wise to do? Because I feel like there's territory that we are to possess, that we're designed to live in our call. And you might be doing well right now. Things are going good, the water's calm. I'm happy for you. But there is going to come a time when the storms come. And you'll need others. And it's great to be able to have people to text or call and be like, hey, can you be praying for me? And you know people are going to do that. Like, this is such a special place. And it's a gift to have these relationships. Guys, it's a gift to have the Word of God. Like, this is a treasure that we get to have this gift. It's a gift to be able to go on your phone and look up Bible studies free. Like, they don't even cost you any money. You know, or it's great to have this place to where we can worship together and come together. Like, these are great gifts. I was talking to Sarah even. I'm like, isn't it so cool to, like, worship in English? Like, when you're overseas, like, you hear all these different languages, which is cool. But then after a while, you come back, and then it's just, like, so amazing to be in God's presence where you, like, understand the words. You're like, this is great. Why isn't everybody not freaking out? But it's really a gift. And so I'm just so honored to be a part of what God is doing here. Anyways, back to the story, verse 16. Joshua says, okay, you guys can stay here, but prepare. I want your strong warriors to come with us to fight so that these people can get their peace as well. And they agreed. They answered Joshua, and they said, we will do whatever you command us. We will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. And may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So be strong and courageous. See, this was a pivotal time because Joshua was preparing the people to move out of a lifestyle and out of rhythms that were totally different. Like, this was their childhood, just like collecting manna and wandering around the wilderness. Like, they weren't allowed to go anywhere. Like, this was their whole life. So with all these people, you can imagine that some of them would be like, I don't really want to go. I'm a little afraid of going and finding out what's going on over there. But Joshua said, hey, we all need to be united in this. Because I've seen what happens when people don't have faith. Like, this is a life and death moment. So he says, hey, it's my job to build your endurance, to get you ready, because we need to be able to think differently. Like, you're going to have to get your own food. You're going to have all your normal routines are out the window. Everything is going to be different. And he's, like, preparing the people. It's like, you have 3 days to get ready because we are going to cross the river. So for some of you, God's saying, hey, I have more for you. I'm stirring something in you. And it's like, that's scary a little bit. I don't think I'm ready for that. But if God's stirring something in you, you might have to make some adjustments. You might have to do different things. You might have to serve in a different way or open up and be vulnerable and sharing who you are and what's going on in your life. You might have to, God might be challenging you to be more generous and saying, hey, you know, I want to be a part of your finances. You know, trust me with your finances. Whatever he's calling you to do, just remember that you can't lose, that God is with you. And no matter what, whatever he's doing, that we can take possession of the land. And so as we close, the worship team can kind of come on up. But I imagine that it was a lot to cross that river. Imagine leaving everything, not knowing how it's going to go. Some of you, like, do travel trips to explore, like, oh, we might move here. And so you take a trip and you go check out the stores and you check out how things are. But often God doesn't give us that sneak peek. He didn't give Israel that sneak peek. He said, hey, we are going to go and we're going to cross the river. And so for some of you, if God is calling you to a deeper faith, be open to it. Be open to it, you know? And you know the right things to do. Listen, you know, read your Bible or listen to messages throughout the week. Begin to shift your routines so that you can take possession of what God is leading you to. And some of you guys are a wealth of knowledge. You are a strong warrior. And so look for ways that you could help others. And for some, if you are just like, you know what, the battle is raging around, like Joella, like there's so much going on. And even myself, like this has been like a rocky start to 2024 for us. And I'm just like, you know what? When all I can do is to stand, I'm going to stand. But I'm going to show up. And I need your prayers. And if that's you, like, hey, let's pray together and encourage each other. Because, like, the fight is real. But just knowing, hey, hold on. Because God is up to something. He's going to turn your struggle into a wonderful, great miracle. So let's go ahead and sing. You can stand if you'd like. But we're going to sing one more song. And just I just want you to praise God for what he's done. And just even ask, like, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Is there authority that I'm not walking into? Or is there land that I need to possess? Let's go ahead and sing.